Hey, Shabbat Shalom, everybody. This is Rabbi Joe, and this is For Zion's Sake Ministries. I want to welcome you. This is Saturday morning and Shabbat, and we're here to worship the Lord. I have the lovely Miss Carolyn at the keyboard today. Miss Carolyn's with me, and the ever-handsome and dapper Mr. Anthony Cody to my left. And he'll be bringing the drosh, the midrash today, so we're glad you're with us. Please let us know you're watching today. Send us an email or on Facebook. Go to For Zion's Sake and just drop us. We put our message. The message will be on Facebook, on my page, and also on the For Zion's Sake Ministry page. Like us on Facebook. Please like us on Facebook. For Zion's Sake Ministries, the one in Bristol, Tennessee, the original. There, accept no imitation. And we're going to get started for you, so praise the Lord. we're going to get underway. God has a great word today, I believe. We're going to talk about the attack of the beast and Ukraine, and how I'm going to talk about the beast system and how the beast is rising in the world. And how it fits into what's going on over in Europe and Ukraine, and even our president, and how America fits in. I think you'll find it fascinating, and it's a simple message. God has given me a very simple format to give to you. So, stay tuned for our message as we continue through the service. The message is Ukraine, the attack of the beast, the attack of the beast. So. Let your friends know. This is a prophetic message. If you don't understand the beast, call your friends. Tell them to watch. In about an hour, I'll be speaking. So, we're going to get underway with Shabbat Shalom. So my sons are back there. We have Mr. Isaac and Mr. Joshua. My two favorite sons are in the back of the room. In fact, as far as I know, they're my only sons. And they're handsome, too. And they're single. So send your daughters down. Hallelujah. Well, it was good enough for the king of Persia. So anyway, praise the Lord. They're princes. I guess they're telling me to be quiet.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom.
Hey!
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Messiah in God, when Messiah is revealed, we'll shine with him in glory. When Messiah is revealed, we'll shine with him in glory. We have been raised up with Messiah, we are seeking the things above.
Where Messiah, our Lord, is seated.
At the right hand of God,
with our minds on
things above,
not on things
that are on the earth. We have died and our life is hidden with Messiah in God. When Messiah is revealed, we'll shine with him in glory. When Messiah is revealed, shine with him in glory,
in glory,
That's my lovely wife, Miss Dawn. She is training on that 737, getting ready to fly the chosen people back to Israel. That's what we've been saying for 25 years, and it's happening. She is preparing. She's flying, learning how to fly the 737. And then eventually, a couple of years, she's going to learn how to fly the Dreamliner, the 787. And God has called her to help fly people out of harm's way in this country, not Ukraine, but in this country. We call it Aliyah, when Jews and God's people return. And I believe Christians will go too, with a heart for Israel, those who have understanding and insight, and understand that they need to go to Israel, not some other country. You know, there is no safety. I mean, one thing the Jewish people have learned, friends, throughout history, is there is no safety in any country for the Jews except Israel. There is no safety for the Jews in any country. Wherever we've gone,
Amen.
We've been safe in Ukraine. You know, the Ukrainians, people don't realize this, they were the toughest country on the Jews. They were so brutal to the Jews during World War II. Ukrainians were brutal. Remember John Demjanjuk? Ivan the Terrible. He was the a guard at Treblinka camp. He was Ukrainian. So back in World War II, and I'm not saying today's Ukrainians did these things, but today things have changed, and they even have a Jewish president in Ukraine. So the whole thing has changed. We love Ukraine, and we stand with the Ukrainian people. But let me give you a little history here. The Ukrainians during World War II were some of the most brutal people to the Jews. But God is calling the Jewish people out for the last. This is the last call. Everybody say last call.
Last call.
This is the last call for the Jewish people to get out of the former Soviet Union. And even and Christians, too. They're persecuting Christians over there. And this is God has raised up. I'm going to talk about this today, why this is happening. I'm going to talk about it. But God has raised up this war to get his people out before the walls build up again. Okay? So we're going to talk about that. But let's continue with the service. I guess we have the blessing of the Messiah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Share not amanu at derech Yeshua, but Mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Where your glory resides, I shall prostrate myself and bow
bend a knee before the Lord, my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time, O God, in your abundant righteousness. Answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Vishamru.
Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat. Lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat. La sod et ha shabbat le doro tamberit olam.
B'nei Yisrael, B'nei Yisrael, O hili olam. Vishamru, B'nei Yisrael, et ha shabbat. La sod et ha shabbat le doro tamberit olam. V'yom ha-shvi, shabbat v'nafash, shabbat v'nafash, shabbat v'nafash. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha shabbat. La sod et ha shabbat le doro tamberit olam.
Praise the Lord. That was the short version.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one to another, all flesh shall come and worship before me, says the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Pray for Jerusalem that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them. Prosper them that love her, and for the sake of the sons of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem.
Bow our heads and our hearts and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we'll pray for Ukraine, and we'll pray for God's will to be done, and also for the sick. So let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we pray Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray, Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. We pray that your peace will be upon her, and that her cities would overflow with abundance, peace, and righteousness, and that you would restore your people, especially those who love you and know you, back to the land, that you would open the gates of righteousness to those of us who know you personally and call on your name, Lord. Open the gates. As Moses said, let my people go. We say, Lord, let my people come.
Yes.
Let my people come. Let's all say it. Let my people come. Hallelujah. Let my people come. Lord, we just ask you that you would tear down the wall. Just as Mr. Reagan said in 1987 to Mr. Gorbachev, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. We speak to the spiritual wall keeping the Messianics out of Israel. And we say, Mr. Hasatan, tear down that wall. Hallelujah. And release your people, Lord. Let us come to Israel. I bet many of you didn't know that you know, Messianic Jews are persecuted and not welcome in the state of Israel to be citizens there. And that needs to change. And Christians too. Christians need to be welcome to come, those who love Israel. Not all Christians love Israel, but the ones who do should be allowed to come. All right, praise God. Let's, I want to pray for, we just pray, Lord, that you remove the blinders from their eyes, the scales fall off, and that they would see their Messiah. We believe for a miracle. Lord, your word says to pray that our flight, we see people fleeing Ukraine, we see them fleeing for their lives, and we know that every nation is going to have to flee one day, and even the United States, believe it or not. And so we pray that our flight will not be on a Sabbath or in the winter. For then, as we can see, even in Ukraine, in the winter, the suffering, the cold of the people trying to escape, how hard it is on them. And many people are dying and getting frostbite. And so we just pray, Lord, that our flight would not be on a Sabbath or in the winter, in accordance with your word, Lord.
Yes.
We pray that our flight would not be on a Sabbath or in the winter, in the name of Yeshua. Father, we pray for mercy for the Ukrainian people, Lord.
Yes.
We just pray for your mercy be upon them, Lord. We pray that you fix that broken nation.
Yes.
And we thank you for I'm going to talk about Ukraine and how the Western world is funding the war, but at the same time, we're giving aid and comfort. It doesn't make sense what we're doing, but we'll talk about that in my message. But we pray, Lord, that you would give aid and comfort and raise up all the needs, meet the needs, and for these Ukrainian women and children that are escaping while their husbands go back to fight, and that you would provide medicine and drop somehow, let these drones drop medicine and insulin and other pain medicine, whatever they need for their injuries the fluid, you know, that they need, IVs to replace blood and liquid fluid, you know, electrolytes and water into them so that they can survive their wounds. Saline solution. Yes, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you would take care of these people and that you would reunite these families that are broken and lost and separated, Lord. We pray that you would reunite them, and we just thank you, Lord, that you have spared Kiev right now. We thank you that you've spared Kiev and the Western Ukraine, but we know what Putin really wants, and he'll wait for it. We know that he'll wait for it. He'll step back and regroup. So we're not fooled by him. So we just thank you, Lord, that you help get your people out. It's time to get out of Ukraine and all former Soviet countries before the doors of freedom to worship the God of Israel, Yeshua and his son, before the doors shut again to worship the God of Israel and the Son of God. We just thank you, Lord. Father, we pray for the Messianic leaders, the Messianic Jews around the world, and we pray, Lord, for the rabbis, and pray for our executive leaders, that you would remove the spirit of Shebna from among them and bring in the spirit of Eliakim, of the spirit of the Father, a spirit of humility, and take out, if there be any spirit of pride or control, that you would remove it from among them, and that you would give us leaders who care, fathers, people who are fathers of the flock, who care about the sheep and the rabbis, who take care of us and feed us, Lord. We pray that our covering, the IAMCS, would be just that, a covering, and that they would pray for us, make intercession for us. And we thank you, Father, in the name of Yeshua. Lord, we just pray also for the Messianic rabbis today, who, as they preach their sermons, that you give them boldness, holy boldness, holy boldness, Lord, holy boldness to preach the word with power, not with great wisdom of men, like Paul said, but with power. Deliver, give them power and help them not to fear man or tithes and what, you know, men are going to, the control of men. So many preachers are bound up by powerful people in their congregations who threaten, I'm going to take my money away. I'm not going to give the money if you don't preach the way I want you to preach. And many preachers kowtow to that. We bind that. We break that in the name of Yeshua.
Yes.
And we just pray for boldness in the Messianic world and in the church. Lord, we pray also today for our loved ones. I especially lift up my beloved Dawn, who's has a test today as she's learning to fly jets, 737. She's learning to fly the 737, and she's going to be flying. Our vision for 25 years has been that she will fly Jews, Messianic Jews, Jews and Christians who want to go back to Israel, that you'll open the gates of righteousness to us, and that we will fly back to Israel in a time of distress that's coming upon even the United States, and that Dawn is going to be not the only pilot, but one of many who's flying Jews and other people, believers, to Israel. And we just thank you that you help her pass her test, that you give her rest and free from stress, yes. and that you help her through this weekend and help her to overcome. Thank you that she got through her flying in the tank last night in the simulator. She did well. Thank you that she, we just pray that she's rested today, that she does a good job, and for success, victory for Dawn. We pray, Lord, for healing. Lord, I lift up William and pray for his knee. Pray that he gets surgery on his knee. And pray for those with arthritis. Miss Carolyn here, just pray for her back and pain, the thing areas that she's suffering from, arthritis, and pray also for Miss Aja out there, Lord, in the audience. Today, Lord, we just pray for her, Lord, and she needs shoulder surgery and other things, and for her pain, Lord, that you would take her pain. Yes. Have mercy, Lord. Yes. As the two men by the blind men by the side of the road cried out, Son of David. I'll say that, Son of David.
Son of David.
Son of David, have mercy.
Yes.
Have mercy.
Mercy.
Have mercy. We all need God's mercy. Amen. We all need the mercy of God. So, Son of David, have mercy. Take notice of us, Lord.
Yes.
Take notice and heal us, Lord. Yourself, myself included, Lord. Yes, and we pray, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would make America great again, Lord. We pray that you would make America was great for a while. Make us great again, Lord. Make us great again, Lord. We are a great country, but we're losing it because of, well, I'm not going to get into it, but people know why. You know, inflation, high gas prices, high food prices. People are suffering, and there seems to be a disconnect between the haves and the have-nots, and the power brokers don't seem to realize how much the people, the average Joes, are suffering out there. So we just pray, Lord, that you would fix that,
yes.
disparity. Yeah. And when they tell us to ride the bus, we ask them to join us politely. Yes. May they join us on the bus.
Yes.
Hallelujah, and see what it's like. Thank you, Lord. And we just pray you bless this service and meet all the needs. We pray for anybody who's not here and with their needs, and those who are watching. We pray for you out there, for your health, your healing. Pray for your families, those of you who need jobs, who are struggling. We pray for you. We lift you up today. We pray that God blesses you and provides for you abundantly as you watch, and that he blesses you for watching this service today, that his glory, his kavod, his anointing would fall upon you. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, we ask. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Servant of the Lord. And now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Manavu? Manahu? Manavu?
Lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and happiness, who brings salvation and says, your God reigns.
Manavu.
Next, young men. Huh, the Shema? Okay. Please turn to the Shema. I'll rise. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kivor, Malchuto, Leolam Vahed. V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha v'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol me'odecha v'hayu ha'divarim ha'ele asher enochi mitzvcha hayom al levavecha v'shinatam levanecha v'dibarta bam v'shivtecha b'veitecha u'v'lechtecha v'aderech u'v'shachbecha u'v'kumecha Ukashartam al mezuzot beitecha uvisharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. Let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Amen. You may be seated. Mi chamocha.
Adonai Melech, Adonai Malach, Adonai Imlok Leolam Vaed, Adonai Oz Leomor Yitain, Adonai Yivarech Et Amo Shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord shall reign forever and ever.
The Lord will give strength unto his people.
The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to sing Vayehiben Soaron, even though we're not going to process, because it's a great word. Vayehiben Soaron, Vayomer Moshe. Kuma Adonai v'yafutsu oivecha v'yanusu misanecha mipanecha ki mitzion teitse Torah ki mitzion teitse Torah udvar Adonai miYerushalayim. When the ark would travel, Shenatan Torah, Torah, Baruch Shenatan Torah, Torah, the Amo Yisrael, Bidushato. When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. Amen. That's a powerful word. Amen. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah. Baruchu et Adonai Amvorah. Baruch Adonai Amroch Yolam Vaed. Baruch Adonai Amroch Yolam Vaed. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Hamim V'na'atan Lanu Et Torato. Baruch atah Adonai Notein HaTorah.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blesses the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen.
Okay, today's Torah portion is called Shemini, and that means the number 8 or the 8th day. And it's from Leviticus chapter 9 through chapter 11, and the half Torah is 2 Samuel chapter 6 through chapter 17, chapter 7, verse 17. And so we see the tabernacle was consecrated, and it was a 7-day event. And, you know, the number 7 is very special in the Torah. You know, there are 7 days in a week. There are 7 years in a sabbatical cycle, which is the Shemitah. And then in the Yovel, that is 7 Shemitah years times the number 7. So you have a Shemitah cycle of 49. And so here it is today. We're at the 8th day, and this is the day that Aaron and Moses go into the tabernacle. And on that day, you know, they before they went into the tabernacle, they prayed over the people. They lifted their hands and they prayed over the people, and they went into the tabernacle where the presence of God was at. And then they came out of the tabernacle, and that's when something very special happened. It's they once again prayed over them. Both Aaron and Moses lifted their hands over the people. And when they did, fire came out from God. The glory of God came forth, and it consumed the altar and the tabernacle and the offerings that had been put up on the altar. They were consumed, and the presence of God was once again dwelling in that sanctuary, and the people fell on their faces in worship because the God had come and had taken the sacrifice that had been offered to him. You see, the 8th day is a very special day. It's a day that's not on the calendar. A lot of people think, well, it's an 8th day, but it's a special day. It's a day that we rewind the Torah scroll. Is rewound on the 8th day. Adam walked into the Garden of Eden on the 8th day. He was created on the 6th day. The 7th day was the Shabbat, and so he walked into the Garden of Eden for the very first time on the 8th day. That probably was an unusual spectacle for him to see all of the things that God had put into the Garden of Eden. The Brit Milah, the circumcision of young males, Hebrew males, was done on the 8th day also. So God has a special day that is set aside, that a day that doesn't reside on the calendar. It's God's day, and God can make another day if he wants to. That's God. He can do that. So it's set apart. And so in this Parsha, you know, there's a sad part of it. You know, Aaron's two sons, Nadab and Abihu, were also great men that were anointed to be priests because Aaron was their father, and so they became priests. But they did something that was strange. They wanted to do something special beyond the ordinary that they had just seen. And so they decided they would offer strange fire to the altar of God. But that wasn't what God had wanted, because he didn't command it. He consumed their bodies from the inside out. Their clothing was still up on their bodies. It's just they consumed their body. And why did God do this? Because he tells us in his word that this wasn't what he had commanded to do. It wasn't the right time, nor was it the right place, and nor was the fire what he had offered, because he says there's only one day that you can come before me and bring the offering of the blood, and that's on Yom Kippur. And so they were totally consumed. But God has given us a pattern of worship, and we must worship him in the manner that he has prescribed. God tells us to sanctify ourselves, and that we are to be called holy because God himself is called holy. So we are to be set ourselves apart to come before God. You know, God is calling us to return to the ancient ways, which is the way of the Torah and the word of the Lord. That's what he wants us to return to, his way. And I hope you read this today, because you'll see that it talks about the dietary things that God is wanting us to do, because God's word is eternal. In Mark chapter 7, we see Yeshua was speaking about being unclean, and he was talking about the tradition of hand washing. And that is Nilat Yadim, and that's where you wash the hand. With your left or right hand, you wash the right hand twice, and the left hand is washed 3 times. If you're left-handed, It flips over. It's 2 and 3. But, you know, God is telling us that to be clean, he wants us to be clean not only on the outside, but also clean on the inside. And Romans chapter 14, we see that God is telling us that food, not all food, is what he wants you to eat. And God in the Torah gives us instructions about the types of food that we are to eat. In Acts chapter 10, verse 9, we see Peter sees the four-footed creatures. And a lot of people think that's telling people to eat all kinds of animals that creep and crawl. But if you read the Torah, it's very specific about the kind of animals that God expects you to eat. And those are the animals that are clean, that will help you in your body and make you strong. And so we see that in this, Peter was calling no man is unclean, but it wasn't about the food, it was about the people that were around him. And so Yeshua, you know, he kept a very kosher diet. He didn't violate the Torah because the Torah was him. So he couldn't violate his own word and what God had given him. All mitzvahs are spiritual, and they must be followed by faith. That's what it takes. And what is a kosher animal? I guess the best way to describe a kosher animal is an animal that has a split hoof, and the both sides of the hoof are fixed or go onto the ground. They touch the ground on both sides. I guess the one that most people think about, of course, is the cow. And with the cow, the animal is kosher if it chews its cud. If you take a look, the pig has a split hoof also, but he does not chew his cud. And what does that mean? The cow consumes lots of grass and grain, and they regurgitate that food back up, and they re-chew it again. And people would say, well, why would they do that again if they'd already eaten it? It's to get the impurities out of their body, and that's why they regurgitate it. Because there's a bunch of cows behind my house, and I sit up there and watch them, and they'll eat, and then the next thing you know, they sit down and relax, and they're chewing constantly. And they're chewing that food up, so the impurities and the chemicals and things that is in the grain or on the grass will come out of them. So that is what means to be kosher. It's the split hoof that separates, the barrier between them that separates it. You know, when we look at when Moses erected the tabernacle, but, you know, God is using the tabernacle as a way to tell us that is the way that we should be. It applies to our inner tabernacle. We are all instructed to, within ourselves, to create a tabernacle for ourselves. And we must do it, and we can on our own to form and prepare the parts that make up our tabernacle that we have. And so how do we do that? How do we have taught this? To teach us, it comes from God's word, his Torah. And that is where God is saying, you will use this to build your own tabernacle that's in your heart. And with that, it will tell us how to live according to God's word and according to how God wants us. And when your inner tabernacle is built on the things of God, then you will function and you will be a person that will honor God, and you will obey God's word, and you will bless and pray for God and seek and pray to God and seek his blessings upon your life today. So that is the Torah portion for this morning. Shabbat Shalom. I guess here comes Rabbi.
Okay, it's time for announcements. So let's turn on my headset, please. Can one of you guys bring me the phone? Bring me maybe the black phone. I just need to use it for a second. So let's look at the calendar. I want to talk about Passover. We're going to have our congregational Passover here. I've had a few friends call me and say they'd like to come. We only have a few spaces available. So for visitors, because our fellowship hall isn't all right. Well, let's talk, just talk to me afterward, or let me know that you want to come. Okay. But so anyway, folks, if you are interested, please get in touch with us. Like I said, we only have very limited seating. And I think that we had talked about last week that our Passover would be on the first week. But Dawn, Miss Dawn, our lovely Rebbetzin, who plays music for us, and doesn't she run a lovely Seder? Yes. Amen. And so we want her to be there. And she finishes her pilot training on the 16th. It's interesting because I've been saying, can anybody think that doesn't already know what the connection is between her becoming a pilot on Passover is?
Yes, God's
going to use her in the Exodus. You got it, brother.
Yes,
amen. And so you just showed up. Amen. I've been saying it for 25 years. And she's going to become a 737 pilot on the 16th. She'll be officially certified as a... And then she'll go out after a month later and do her IOE, which is she'll come home for a month or 3 weeks, and then she'll go out. Let me explain for a second. And then she'll go out, and then she will go fly with a Czech airman, and in other words, she'll fly with a captain who will watch her, make sure she'll have passengers, but she'll be checked out, make sure she knows how to do it, and then. Oh, just buy a ticket. Praise the Lord. So, all right, so when we're going to do Passover, we want her to be here. All right, can I get a raise of hands if you want Miss Dawn to be here?
Absolutely.
Amen. Okay, so we're going to do it at the end of the week instead of the beginning. So we're going to do it on Saturday, I think Saturday the 23rd, which is the very last day of Passover, the very last day. So... Amen. So it is. It's the day to leave, day to get out. That's right. So we're gonna do it probably. I'd say, does that all sound good to you? Saturday the 23rd.
Yes. What time?
I don't know. Probably be about 6:30. Yeah, we'll let you know. Just Danny, just get in touch with me after the service, and we'll connect. Okay. Just sign up on the board. Somebody hand him the board so I can get his contact information and that he's interested in Passover. Okay. All right. So let's see. So we're going to do Passover on the 23rd here because Dawn will be back and we want her to be here. So she plays music, Dayenu, and all the lovely songs. And it just wouldn't be the same. Lighting the candles and... We need our Rebbetzin, so that's when we'll do it. And okay, so that said, now I want to read to you. I'm not going to read the cities by name because of this is sensitive. But this is an email I received from some of the rabbis, about Ukraine and about the Jewish community over there, the Messianic community. So I want to read that to you. And let me pull it up on my email so you understand. This is a charity that I think we should support as a congregation. And I've been looking for the right charity to give to. And, as you know, many of you know, the largest Messianic congregation in the world community is in Ukraine. Yeah, it is. It's in Ukraine. So let me read this letter. Here it goes. Dear rabbis, I may not name the city because to protect the people where they are, but I'll say Western, Northern, whatever, I am writing to you as the European representative of the IAMCS. That's the body that covers us. The International Association of Messianic Congregations and Synagogues. It's the body that covers Jonathan Kahn. It's the body that covers Jonathan Bernis. And many great rabbis and famous people are under that organization. And we are too. So as the rabbi at Beth Hillel, Birmingham, you may not know this, but my wife Leslie, this is from David Schneier,
He was here about 8 years ago, Rabbi Schneier. He had black hair and a mustache, and he stayed at my house. He taught at my house, and we had a Bible study at the house, and he taught here. Schneier. Yeah. So anyway, please let me read through this. Okay. As the rabbi of Beth Hillel in Birmingham, Alabama, you may not know this, but my wife Leslie and I lived in Ukraine for 12 years, from 1995 to 2007, and have visited Ukraine for an additional 12 years to facilitate IAMCS Eastern European Leadership conferences twice a year. There have also been IAMCS leadership conferences in Western Europe once a year when possible. Since 2019 and the start of the COVID plague, we have had to contact leaders by telephone and Zoom conferences, including a weekly Zoom conference with the leaders in Western and Eastern Europe. Many times in the week, we are in contact with the leader of a port city on the coast congregation, which we helped found in 1995 after a Hero Israel outreach. Here's an update he sent today concerning Ukraine. He said the congregation in a town starts with a K. It's not Kiev, but it's another town that starts with a K. And he says it is under constant rocket and bomb attacks. Members of the community gather in the prayer house and pray. They continue to hold Shabbat and holiday services. A number of people left the city to the west. Miraculously, their prayer house was not bombed. The congregation from another town that starts with an N is now meeting online through the Zoom application. The city is constantly bombed. A rocket hit the house of a member of the community and killed his elderly mother. The community from a town near Kiev, I'll just say that, was completely evacuated. Heavy fighting was going on there, and therefore the entire civilian population was taken out. Now the ministers of this congregation are in Poland. They were evacuated urgently, and therefore they were able to take with them only what they had at hand. They had to flee. The congregation in the town starts with a C. I can't name that one. Near the eastern border of Ukraine. The eastern border is where the real bad stuff is. Was evacuated after 4 days of war due to heavy fighting. The ministers went to the west of Ukraine. Now they have found a house in the mountains, negotiated with its owner who lives in Switzerland, and is preparing it to receive refugees and conduct services. So a man from Switzerland gave them a house. They came, got out of the fighting, and the whole congregation moved into the mountains. Isn't that wonderful? And so they have a place to worship. Okay. The congregation from a town that starts with a Y near Kiev moved to Poland. They received this understanding. The Lord gave them a word. In Poland, they found a place in one of the small Polish towns. There they asked the city authorities for a room for holding services. They were offered to talk to a priest at a local church. The priest gave them a room, and then he participated in the service together with the Messianic Jewish congregation. He put on a yarmulke, a kippah, and read the Messianic Siddur, the prayer book in Polish. Catholic priests. And God told them to go. They got a word to go to Poland. Isn't that wonderful? And that's such a change in history, because the Poles were so cruel to the Jews during World War II, but now they're being kind. It's beautiful, beautiful. So the congregation of a place starts with a U, I won't name it, helps refugees. They meet them, put them in apartments so that people can rest, and then take them to the border with Slovakia or Hungary. So you see, there's Messianic work going on all over. And I just found this out. I got this email. So let's go on. It's almost done. The congregation in a place that starts with an I arranged accommodation for Jewish refugees in one of the apartments provided by people from the community. They have already resettled four Jewish families who attend Shabbat services of the congregation. My David Schneier, my rabbi friend, his grandparents were from that area, he says. The congregation on the coast is preparing a bomb shelter for members of the community and helping people with food. This shelter belongs to the congregation, but the supplies were bought through IAMCS funds supplied by the IAMCS and IAMCS congregations in the U.S., like ours. All services are held as usual. That congregation is not heavily bombed yet, the town. Many women, and that's on the coast, and children left Ukraine to different countries, such as Romania, Moldova, Germany, Poland, Portugal, Turkey, Canada, Slovakia, and others. Today, in our weekly IAMCS Zoom call, that congregation rabbi had to leave quickly because the air raid sirens went off. He continues to stay with his wife and children there by the coast, despite the constant threat of invasion from the Black Sea. Almost all of the congregation from the city of another city that starts with an O, it's not Odessa, dispersed to different countries. Rabbi Oleg helped many people go abroad. From his wife and his children live in Romania, and he visits them from time to time, bringing others with him. The congregations from the cities of another starts with a K, but it's not Kiev, and a city that starts with a D, continue their services as usual. There is no shelling or fighting in their region yet. This is, I think, more in the center of the country. Communities participate in city prayers and help people get through this difficult time. I, David Schneier, the rabbi who wrote this, know that trust these IAMCS congregations and their leaders. For 27 years, they are helping to distribute funds during a merciless invasion and war. We were asked this week if the IAMCS is helping in Ukraine and Crimea. Well, we have sent between $20,000 to $30,000 for the leaders and the IAMCS congregations in Ukraine and Crimea. We will continue to do so by whatever means necessary that brings much needed funds for support and for evacuations when necessary. Please be generous at this time because our work is not over. So if you would like to support this ministry, make your donation to support for Ukraine. We're going to take special offerings this week, next week, and probably the week after. We'll take a special offering. If I didn't give people time to prepare for this, I feel this is the ministry God wants us to support, and these are our people. These are our people. These are our brothers in Ukraine, and so we need to help them and support them. And I believe all the funds are going to be used. According, Rabbi Schneier is a great guy. He's a friend of mine. He gave $1,000 to us when I was going through cancer treatment in the hospital. He donated $1,000 to help toward my cancer treatment. And so anyway, anyone who would like to give, and if you're giving online, if you'd like to support Ukraine and support the Messianic Jews, as I've just read, just send your donation. We'll send it all to the IAMCS, and it'll be tagged. For Ukraine aid, we won't take a nickel of it. We won't take anything. We'll just send it on to them. So you can donate online. Just say if you're going to give for Ukraine. If you're here, if you're making a special gift, just mark it. If you put it in an envelope, if you just do me a favor and grab an envelope in one of the pews and just write Ukraine, okay? But we're also going to take up our tithes and offerings at this time. So I'm going to pray. So this is wonderful that, you know, I've been kind of like trying to figure out which ministry we need to support because there's so many. And, you know, there's a lot of ministries, good ministries. I mean, Franklin Graham does a good work, and I'm sure the Red Cross are helping a lot of people, but we have to help the people. Obviously, this ministry, you know, I was watching a certain news channel, and they'd raised $12 million for the Red Cross. This ministry's only raised $30,000.
Wow. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. So, I mean, it's light. It's compared to $12 million. 30,000 is a, well, yeah, it's all good. It's all good. Anything that helps people. So let's pray. We're going to pray for the offering. And if folks want to give, if you're watching online, you want to support this, just mark it for Ukraine. If you want to give to this ministry and tithe, just let us know what it is you're giving. You can give securely right online through PayPal or by credit card. Excuse me. I don't know how safe anything is anymore, but anyway, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these tithes and offerings today. We thank you for your provision for this ministry, Lord. We do not seek wealth here, Lord. We seek to be able to help people. We seek to be able to maintain our facility and to maintain the heat pump and fix the driveway and to put in a shower. We need to put in a shower here. We want to get mattresses for refuge, just like we saw churches in Poland with people fleeing, sitting on mattresses. We believe a day is coming when people will flee the cities and come down here to the country, to the wilderness, and they'll need place to come to. And we believe I've been saying have I not been saying mattresses for got many, maybe over a year or two, that we need to get mattresses. And I saw pictures on TV several times of churches with mattresses all over the floors. Mm-hmm. And that's what they need, is mattresses. They need beds. And then all day long, these refugees, they just sit on the mattresses. And that's where they, you know, as they wait for their next bowl of soup, you know. So I've been saying for a year or two that people are going to come here fleeing the cities. And we need mattresses. But we need someone, we need help. We need God to provide the things that we're only a half mile from the train station? Do you know that Amtrak is coming here? Amtrak, yeah, I was in a meeting, and Amtrak has chosen to come through Virginia, from Washington. They're going to stop in Roanoke, I think maybe Marion or Abingdon, and then they're going to stop in Bristol. They're going to stop in Bristol is one of the few stops. Then they go to Knoxville, and then in Chattanooga, yeah. So there's just very few stops. I don't know. I don't think they go to Nashville. I think it goes to Knoxville and Chattanooga. So Amtrak's coming, and we're only a half a mile away from the station. So if we put an ad, let's say when they open it up, if they have ads, and we, you know, I'm thinking, you know, to call it Beth Israel Hospitality House. And make, you know, just call it Beth Israel Hospitality House, you know, Shalom, you know. Well, yeah, it'd be nice, but we need God to provide those things. Amen. We're praying three nights a week. We pray. So anyway, but please pray for our needs to help people and please be generous in this offering. Father, we just thank you that you bless this offering for Ukraine. Bless our tithes and offerings. Bless this congregation, Lord. Meet the needs of our ministry here in Bristol. And we just give you thanks and praise for your goodness. And we've been here for 23 years now.
Hallelujah.
And not many congregations last that long. Or at least have the same pastor for 23 years, or rabbi. So the fact that I'm still standing here is a testimony to you, Lord, and to your faithfulness. And you gave me a word on the first day in March. We are 23 years. Our 23rd birthday is right about now or a week ago. We met in March 2000 and started this congregation. God gave me a word from Zechariah 4. He said, do not despise the day of small beginnings. And he said to me, your hands will finish this work. Your hands will build this work, and your hands will complete it, he said to me. So we just thank you, Lord, in the name of Yeshua. Now bless the givers, and bless the gift 100-fold, and bind the enemy in Yeshua's name. Amen. Praise God. All right. Wasn't that exciting to read that, to hear that?
Yes.
I thought it was. All right, boys, I'm going to give this back to you. Somebody sent me 20 messages. My goodness. Yeah. The offering, the box in the back. And if you, those who have spare change for the needy, if you, we're in the back there, right there, yeah. There's a little basket if you have some spare change for the needy. Isaac, would you take my offering for the spare change back? Put it in the basket, please.
As we fly through the sky,
another one.
See his precious face and know the wonders of his grace.
Look who's here.
And his love will say, welcome home. Welcome home.
Welcome home, Diane.
Jesus is coming, coming to the earth. From this land he'll take us home. Yeshua's coming, coming to the earth. Leave the sadness we have known. As we fly through the sky in the twinkle of an eye, we will see his precious face and know the wonder of his grace. And his love will say, welcome home. Welcome home.
Oh, Jesus is coming, coming to the earth. From this land he'll take us home. Jesus is coming, coming to the earth. We'll leave the sadness we have known. God's house, see the one that we've adored. We are going, going to God's house, the open arms of the Lord.
Glory. I love that song, don't you?
Yes.
All right, don't start the worship yet. Let me get my bass. You know, angels want to wear my red shoes. You see my red shoes? Say that. Hallelujah. Angels want to wear my red shoes. Red shoes. Angels want to wear my red shoes. Ah. Praise the Lord. All right, what's next, young men? Younger men? Okay. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to blow the shofar for me on that one. Need a shofar blower to help me with that one. Okay, you can crank it up.
Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho. Fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came a-tumbling down. Oh, Josh fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Josh fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came a-tumbling
battle of Jericho. Joshua cried, 'cause the battle is in God.
Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down.
All right, you got a shofar in your mouth. Everybody go, doo!
Cut off from the land of the living, for the sins of my people he was slain. It was the will of his father to crush him and take his life in place of our own. But he arose from the dead and lives evermore. Every knee shall bow before his throne.
Peace be to you.
Where
said, Ephraim, my son, how my heart would thrill to hear you say, our Messiah has come. Oh, my brothers, hear these words. May they pierce your soul. Turn again to worship Adonai. Mashiach, you will know.
Table, we're gonna do another one.
I am the God that heals.
Yeah, no, do it. Let's do it.
I am the God
Raise your hands up to him if you need healing today.
God's name is more powerful than any disease you can name tonight.
Yes.
You might have received a horrible report from the doctors and told you your disease is incurable. But you know what? There's hope tonight.
Thank you, God. You are the
there is hope because God's promised that he would heal us.
Hallelujah.
I want you to put his word
thank
on
you,
your
Lord.
Lips tonight. Sing his word back to him. See if his name isn't more powerful than cancer, than heart disease, or any disease that you can name tonight. Oh yes, he's your healer. Let's sing it to him. You are the God that healeth me.
You are the God.
God, it's good to see the welcome Diane back.
Yes.
She came in during welcome home.
Yes.
How fitting. And
fitting.
We're going to go to the Lord's table at this time. So if you have some matzah or crackers, some fruit of the vine, grape juice or manischewitz, whatever you use, this would be a good time to get it ready. And if you watch us weekly, you can be ready every week because we always go to the Shulchan Adonai, the Lord's table, communion as the church calls it.
Yeah.
And so we do it every week. So just get yourself ready if you watch with us online, and we're going to move to the Lord's table. I'm going to ask Deborah and Diane, would you like to serve today? Come on up. We're doing it the old-fashioned way. Hallelujah. Well, we used to have these little COVID cups, but now we have a bountiful loaf of bread there. Under that napkin, brother. Bountiful. It's a never-ending loaf. All right. Hallelujah. I don't actually have a mug, so if I can get a cup from you, I'll bless it, Diane. I took my mug over to the kitchen, my chalice, and I'll take a piece from you there, Deborah, please. Thank you. I know. All right. So on the night he was betrayed, Yeshua was, it was not a coincidence, it was Passover. And Yeshua, Luke 22 tells us that he sent his disciples to prepare an upper room owned by a man with a donkey. With a pitcher of water, not a donkey. The pitcher of water. And the man took his disciples up to the upper room, and they prepared the Passover. And that was, people don't necessarily realize that the Jewish day
begins the night before. So the day he died actually began that night. It's at sundown, right? So he was crucified that day, and it started that night with the Passover meal. And he took the cup of the third cup of the Passover meal, we call the cup of redemption, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin." Hallelujah. Amen. And so he said, "This cup is the new covenant poured out for the forgiveness of sin." And then at every Passover, traditional Passover, Jewish people take a little piece of matzah together with the third cup called the afikomen. And so he did it as well with his disciples. And he said, "This bread is my body, it represents my body given for you, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me." And so, yes, it's a broken piece. And so he took that little piece of bread and said, "It represents this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance." And this cup is the new covenant in my blood. And by saying this, he was telling them what he was going to do for them that next day. He was explaining to them with using imagery. Amen? He was using the cup and the bread to explain what he was going to do. So let's bless it, and then we invite people to join us and to take it with us. And so I'm going to bless. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. And then for the bread, he said, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So this for Christians, this Passover tradition is where your communion originated. It comes out of the Passover. It's part of the Passover meal. It is within the Passover meal. It's just a small part of it. It's an important part, but it's just a small part of the whole Passover meal. And so we invite you to join us, all believers in Messiah. If you don't know the Messiah and God is speaking to you and you'd like to meet the Messiah, just raise your hand. If you're out there, just bow our heads and just raise your hand. If you don't know the Messiah today and you'd like to meet the Messiah, just raise your hand and I'll pray with you now. It's not so much what you say, it's what's in your heart that matters. So just pray with me if you're watching wherever you are. Just raise your hand if you're in your car, if you're in your house, if you're in a park, wherever you're watching, you're on your phone, sitting on a park bench. Just raise your hand, slip it up in the air, and just pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I have broken your laws. I do not read your word. And if I do read it, I don't read it enough. I don't know all your word. I don't even know 40 of your commandments. I may know 10, but I don't know 40. And there's over 613 just in the Old Testament alone, positive and negative commandments. And I confess that I fail to keep those commandments, Lord. And that's what transgression of the law is sin, the Bible says. John tells us transgression of the law is sin. So if we break the Torah, if we don't keep the commandments, then we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So God, forgive me. Forgive me now, Lord, because I have broken your laws. I have sinned against you by not keeping your laws. And I confess my sins to you, Lord. I confess that I need a Savior, that I need forgiveness, Lord, right now, right here. And I just ask for your forgiveness. And I believe that Yeshua is the Son of God, Jesus. That he came into the world, the Son of God, that he was 100% man and 100% God, and that he miraculously died, he was buried 3 days and 3 nights, and then he rose from the dead on the third day, conquering the power of sin and death, so that I might have eternal life with him and with all my, with my family and loved ones, friends and people, you know, that I've been friends with for decades that I may never see in person. Hallelujah. So with this prayer, Lord, I receive Yeshua in my heart. Put my name in your book of life now. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Save me now.
Hallelujah.
Save me now, Lord. And if you did get saved today, if you met the Messiah, please contact us. I have a gift for you. So let us know, and I will send you that gift. And at this time, I invite everybody to come forward and receive as the ladies will serve you. And praise God. Come as you're ready. And I always say it's a good time to confess your sins as you come to the Lord's table. I always, you know, keep your list short. Praise God. I had a bottle of water. Oh, there it is.
Every day I long for more of you. Every night I'm thinking of you. No one can love me the way you do. Here I am to stand in your presence.
Hallelujah. Praise God. L'chaim b'Yeshua, to life in Yeshua. Amen. Enjoy.
Hallelujah.
Man, thank you, Lord. Double portion. Okay. We can get those cameras ready. And get those cameras ready. And today's message is Ukraine, the attack of the beast. And we're going to get into Revelation. We're going to talk about the beast. Some more. We skipped. We left off for Esther, But we're going to go back to the beast today, and I think you're going to get some really cool revelation from the Lord today. And if you didn't get my newsletter on the image of the beast last month, you can pick a copy up outside in the foyer, contact our ministry, or you can go online at www.forzionsake.org, for Zion's sake, not apostrophe S, just Zion. And you can read the newsletter. You can print it. You can share it with friends. This is called The Image of the Beast. But today's message is called Ukraine, the Attack of the Beast. So we're going to see the beast in action today, and I think you're going to see it very clearly. I think it's really cool. I just have to find it. Oh, it's in my folder. That's why I can't find it. But da-di-da. Here's my folder. So this is a message that God gave me over the past week, and I wrote it out the last 3 days, and I'm excited to share it with you. Ukraine, the attack of the beast. Is Facebook on? Okay, let's pray, and then we'll turn that on. Heavenly Father, just thank you for your word, and Lord, for your revelation. Thank you for your anointing, and just pray that you would just empty me of Joe and forgive my sins, Lord. Forgive my weaknesses and my failings, and make me a vessel of your word. Anoint our ears to hear and our eyes to see. Anoint the ears of the people out there, Lord, to hear your word and to receive truth. In the name of Yeshua, help us to focus and concentrate as I share this word today so that we understand what it is. And now let it go forth. Your word does not return void. Let it go forth unhindered wherever you want to take it. In Yeshua's name, we bind the enemy. Amen. Okay, Mr. Josh, tell me when we're on. Okay. All right. Welcome, Facebook friends. I'm Rabbi Joe, and today's message is Ukraine, the Attack of the Beast. We're going to talk about the Beast of Revelation, and we're going to talk about how it pertains to events in the world today, and I think you're going to see it very clearly. So stay with me for this message. Ukraine, the Attack of the Beast. I'm not taking advantage of a media opportunity. This is, I believe, a word that God has given me. And a lot of people, you know, they don't understand what's happening in the world. Why are gas prices rising? Why is food prices rising? Why is inflation going crazy? What's happening in the world? Why is this going on? What's behind all this? What's causing it? What does it mean for me as a regular person? So we're going to talk about that today. So today's message is Ukraine, the Attack of the Beast. Now, in last month's newsletter, my article was called "The Image of the Beast," and God described in Revelation 13 and parts of Daniel 7 how it would one day come off the page. The beast. So God gave us the image of the beast. He described it in his word, right? He explained what the beast would look like. But then one day, in the fullness of time, it would come off the pages of the book of the Bible. It would jump off the page into the world. Amen? One day, and so I believe that day has come, and it would become a real image that people worship. So I went on to tell of a statue built by Mexican sculptors, and it was placed at the United Nations, and it resembled the beast of Revelation 13. Here's a black and white picture. You can look it up. Google the Guardian for International Peace and Security. The Guardian for International Peace and Security. Now, this was set up last fall at the United Nations. And Christians complained about it. And the reason they complained is they said it resembles the beast of Revelation 13. And so I'm going to talk about how it resembles, and just bear with me. And so it was taken down on December 20th because of many complaints by Christians, by believers. But the Guardian for International Peace and Security, was it a perfect image of the beast? Remember, I said the beast would one day, in the fullness of time, the image that God described to us would one day come off the pages of the Bible, and it would become real, right? Y'all believe that? Y'all believe that when God says there's a beast, that it would one day be a real thing, not just a prophecy?
Yes.
Amen? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay. Let me get my sign out. Can I get my amen sign? Because I'm going to get my amen sign. All right, and if you don't like it, if you guys don't like my message, all right, and then if you really like it, we have hallelujah. Okay, all right, so let's move on. Well, so was it a perfect image, the statue that they built? People complained and said, well, it doesn't exactly represent the beast. And so, of Revelation 13, and I say, yeah, absolutely not. I'm fairly certain that when Michelangelo, and I was wrong, I correct myself, it wasn't Da Vinci that did the Sistine Chapel. It was Michelangelo. It was also Michelangelo who did the famous statue of David. And when he did it, he had sketches. And you can look up online to see the sketches of before he painted the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. He sketched it. He didn't just get up there and paint it, you know. And when he made the statue of David, he sketched it before he made that beautiful, symmetrical, very, you know, it's one of the most, it's noted to be, I saw the statue in Florence when I was in college, it's noted to be one of the most anatomically correct, you know, statues ever made, is the statue of David, yes. And Michelangelo and Da Vinci, they were amazingly talented artists and sculptors. And so I'm going to ask if people would not comment while I'm speaking. You can give a hallelujah at the appropriate time, but I'll lose my concentration if you interrupt me when I'm speaking, and we'll be here forever. So please just let me go through this and listen. And then there's times when you can give I'll tell you when you can give an amen, okay? I'm fairly certain that Michelangelo sketched his famous painting on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel before he painted it, and as he likely sketched his famous David statue before he sculpted it. In a like manner, this image of the beast called the Guardian for International Peace and Security is like a sketch. It's a rough draft, guys and gals. It has the essentials of the beast of Revelation 13, but it's not perfect. Doesn't have all the bells and whistles. Why is that? And we'll get to that, okay? It's just not complete yet. And after all, it's just a first image anyway of a fluid and a changing beast. Fluid. Everybody say fluid. Fluid. It's like a living being. But first of all, the beast, it's not a beast. It's not a creature, okay? It's a system. The beast is a, everybody say the beast is a system. Beast is a system, that's right, and whose basic features include God. So God gave us the image of the beast, and man built it on his own, thinking it was coming from him, even though God inspired it. You know, God uses evil men.
Amen.
God uses evil men to create things from that he prophesies.
Yes.
You know, God actually uses wicked men, and they do things not knowing it's God. And God's the one who did it, but they don't get credit for it. They just do it. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
All right. So it has the essentials of the beast that God described in Revelation 13. After all, it's just the first image, and let's talk about it. So the beast is not a creature. It's a system. Everybody say it's a system. It's a world power system whose basic features described include the body of a leopard, and if you see this, look at it online, Google it, you can even Google it now, the the Guardian for International Peace and Security, and you will see it has spotted body. A leopard has spots. It has, and the beast of Revelation 13 is spotted. Revelation 13:2. It has the feet of a bear. That's what the Bible tells us. It would have the feet of a bear, and it has Revelation 13:2. Has the face and the mouth of a lion. So, for a more complete teaching on the beast, if you want to read my last month, the image of the beast, explaining the basic image of the beast, you can go to forzionsake.org, www.forzionsake.org, then click on newsletters or request we send you a copy, and please share it with your friends. You know, share these messages. Feel free, you can print them on your own printer. You can share them with anyone you like. They're free. We appreciate your support. It helps us fund our newsletter, but they're free, and you can make as many copies as you want. Okay, so today I'm here to explain the rise and the attack of the beast in Ukraine. The rise and the attack of the beast. Now, actually, it's quite simple to understand today's message if you recognize just a few key points here. Let's read on, and we shall see how the beast is on the attack in Ukraine and how it's threatening the world. Do you know that we are at DEFCON, I don't know what number we are in the United States, we haven't been at this level of nuclear preparedness since the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962. We have not been at this level of nuclear preparedness. Do you know there's a special plane that is Special Air Force One for the president that's only used when we're at a certain DEFCON, and it can survive a nuclear attack, and it's in Europe right now. Or the president may be coming home today, I don't know, but when he comes home. But that plane was in Europe with him while he was there because of the threat of nuclear attack. And they don't usually use that Air Force One. So that's just a little tip for you. But notice, you know, nobody seems worried about nuclear war, even though we're just as close to it as we were in the Cuban Missile Crisis. We think that because Cuba was right off the coast of the U.S., that we were in greater danger then than we are now. Those missiles can come from Russia in 10 minutes. We don't realize, we think that it's so far away that, you know, some people do. So anyway, okay, so, and also, besides the feet of a bear, it has the mouth of a lion, the face of a lion, Revelation 13:2. So for a more complete teaching, I told you, so the beast is a system, and it's on the attack. It's not an animal. It's a system, and animals are just used to describe it and to a way that, so it's a way God uses imagery, just like we use the cup of Passover and the bread to explain his sacrifice, his body and his blood. God uses these beasts to help us understand nations and what they do. So let's read on. First, you must understand that the animals that make up the beast represent nations. The animals that represent the beast make up the beast represent nations. In Daniel 7, we read of the animals that make up the beast, but they are not unified. They're each one is separate in Daniel 7. By Revelation 13, those animals that make up the beast have now become one. They've become a confederation. So for example, turn to Daniel 7 for a second, please. If you turn to Daniel 7, you see his vision. In verse 2, it says, Daniel said, I was looking in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, which represents the Gentiles, the multitudes of the nations. And four great beasts were coming up from the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had the wings of an eagle. Remember, the face of this beast that they have at the UN has the face and mouth of a lion. I kept looking until its wings were plucked. Interestingly, one of the first beasts, part of the beasts, the animal beast that's on the beast, that's taken off, that's destroyed, is the wings of the eagle. But right now, on the beast, the wings are still there. But Daniel says, one of the very first things Daniel says is the wings were plucked very quickly. I believe that that's representing the United States and that our time is short. Let's look at the second beast. It says in verse 5, "And behold, another beast, a second one resembling a bear, and it was raised up on one side, and three ribs were in its mouth between its teeth. And thus they said to it, Arise, devour much meat. After this I kept looking, and behold, another one like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it." And he was the leopard. And so you see, in the beasts of Daniel, let's stop here for a second, they all are, they're not one, they're not joined in unity. You see that? When Daniel sees them, they're individual beasts. Now turn to Revelation 13. Here's the difference between Revelation 13 and Daniel. Let's read Revelation 13, 1. "And the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore," again, out of the sea. "Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, out of the Gentiles, out of the nations, the multitudes, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth was like the mouth of, or face of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority." Okay, I'm going to stop there. Now, there's much more about the beast that I said I'm going to keep it simple. So today we're going to focus on the bear, the dragon, the wings of the eagle, the lion, and the leopard. Amen? We're just going to focus on those four or five creatures, beings, and we're not going to go beyond that today. Okay? So I said I'd keep it simple. Okay. So today I'm here to explain the rise and the attack of the beast. Actually, it's quite simple to understand if you recognize these points and how Ukraine fits in. So, again, the beast is what? A system. The beast is a world system, okay? It's like a government. Think of it as a government. Think of it as a new system, unlike anything you've ever experienced. It's not like, you know, we all grew up in America, baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet, right? We all, our brothers and sisters and our cousins drove, you know, hot rods and Camaros and cars with big engines, and we all knew, you know, people who had garage bands back in the 70s and 80s and 60s, and the Beach Boys and Surfing USA, and this is not that system, okay? It's not that system, all right? This is totally different here. All right, let's go on. We'll talk about it. So, but it is a system, just like our republic is a system, and that they're trying to change by something called the Great Reset. But so we read in Daniel 7 of the animals that make up the beast, but they're not unified, they're not one. By Revelation 13, the nations, or the animals, that make up the beast have become a confederation, or a United Nations. By Revelation 13, these animals of the beast have become joined together as a confederacy, not the Confederacy of the South, but as a confederation, or a United Nations. So it's not surprising, is it then, that the statue that they placed of the beast was placed at the United Nations, right? Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? So the United Nations really is, people have suspected it's the beast for a long time, and I think it really is. Now, this is not to be confused with the Antichrist or the Anti-Messiah, who is a leader. I mean, he is a separate being. He's part of the beast, but he's separate. So we're not going to talk about him right now. All right. So let's go on. So the United Nations built the beast that God prophesied. And because the United Nations is the system, is the system of the beast. So you see bears, lions, eagles, leopards, prophetically, everybody say prophetically, represent nations in the Bible. While the dragon represents both Satan and nations, such as China and possibly England. And if you read Revelation 12:9, it says, speaking of the dragon, let's just look in Revelation 12:9 for a second. It says, I'll read it to you. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. So the dragon is the serpent of old who is called the devil and Satan. Amen? Amen? So some nations, there's two actually on the earth that have the dragon as their symbol. One is China and the other is England. So we're going to talk about that. All right. So bears, lions, eagles, leopards prophetically represent nations in the Bible, while the dragon represents both Satan and a nation, two nations, such as China and possibly England, because England has two symbols. One is the lion and one is the dragon. So you're not hearing much about England in this whole thing right now, but we're going to talk about that, okay? So we'll get to England, but China has a big part in this. And so in the same way as animals represent nations, so do horns. So horns represent nations. Even the man of lawlessness, who we see as the little horn of Daniel 7:8, it says he has eyes of a man and the mouth of a man. In Daniel 7:8, this little horn is the Antichrist. He isn't even an animal. He's a horn on the beast. Okay? And he becomes the most powerful part of the beast, but he starts out as a horn. You know, God says we're all parts of the body, right? God says we're the body of Messiah. And some of us are like the elbow, some of us are eyes, some of us are the ear, some of us are the beer belly, the bagel belly. You see what I'm saying? Some of us are the feet. We're all play different body parts of the beast of God's body. Amen. Please, brother, I can't. If you do that, I really can't focus, and I need to focus. Thank you. So bears and lions and eagles, leopards prophetically represent nations in the Bible, while the dragon represents both Satan and nations such as China and possibly England, who the bear, the dragon, as a national symbol. In the same way, horns represent nations, even the man of lawlessness, who we see as the little horn of Daniel 7:8 with the eyes and a mouth. Also Daniel 8:9-12. You can go back and listen to, if you're not writing down these verses, you can go back and listen, but I suggest you just write them down and look them up. Daniel 8, verse 9-12, and then Daniel 8:23-25 explains the little horn, the Antichrist. Also 2 Thessalonians 2, and the little horn, the Antichrist, is the man of lawlessness. So to grasp the concept of the beast, you must think of its parts not as animals, but as kings and rulers, nations, moving as a unit, sometimes moving as a unit, and represented by national animal symbols rather than flags. So when you think of flags, have you ever seen a hall of flags? Been to a place like an airport or something, and you've seen flags of the nations? Flags are just another way of representing nations, and these animals that make up the beast are like flags. It's just a way of saying, you know, representing nations. We just have to figure out which nation they represent. Okay, so let's go on. Again, the beast is a system. It is a United Nations. By the way, the actual statue at the UN was taken down on December 20th due to many Christians complaining it resembled the beast of Revelation 13. I will argue today that if you can understand the basics of the beast, then you will comprehend the war, the inflation, the high gas prices, the trouble that has engulfed the world we live in. Let's continue. Keep it simple. As I said, each animal that makes up the beast represents a nation. And its ruler, its military, its government, individual rulers can change, okay? So Putin, the Russian bear, may be replaced. He may not make it, through this crisis. He may not survive. He's in his 70s. He may be replaced by some other tough guy. But the bear is going to survive. You understand? People change, but parts of the beast will continue on. There will always be a dragon until God throws the dragon into the lake of fire. However, the leader of China may change. But China, I believe, is the dragon. And if you have trouble with that, saying, well, Joe, Satan is the serpent. Well, if God could speak through a serpent to Adam and Eve, and it says in Revelation 12:9 that the serpent is the dragon is Satan, then why, if he could speak through a serpent, why couldn't he speak through the leader of China? It's pretty simple, right? Okay, so let's go on. So individual rulers will change. Putin may be replaced eventually, but Russia will likely remain the bear, part of the beast, irregardless. Remember, we read in Daniel 7 that the bear's role is to devour much flesh. That's what it says of the bear. The bear will have three ribs in its mouth, and it devours much flesh. So the bear is a warrior. Some nations are removed from the beast altogether, as we shall see, but some are essential to its function. Using Russia as an example, as the feet of the beast, Revelation 13:2, are the feet of a bear. Russia's national animal symbol is a grizzly bear. So let's think back a little over a month to the 2022 Chinese Winter Olympics. Vladimir Putin flew to China not to watch athletes, but to meet with the Chinese dictator, right? The dragon, Xi Jinping. I wasn't in the room with those guys for the high-level talks that took place, but I couldn't help but notice that Russian troops were in the news amassing on the border of Ukraine while this was going on in Belarus and Russia. In fact, by February, there were some 150,000 Russian troops massed on the Ukrainian border with tanks, artillery, rockets, lots of guns. Shortly after Putin, after he met with Xi Jinping, Putin the bear met with the face of the dragon, China's Ping. And Putin proceeded to invade Ukraine on February 24th, 2022, not long after the Chinese Olympics ended. In fact, news reports tell us that not only did the Chinese leader bless Putin's plan of attack, but he asked him to wait a couple weeks until the Olympics were over. Wow. Okay, so if the feet of the beast are the bear's feet, well, let me read something in Revelation. So why did Putin go to China to get the blessing? Let's read it. Revelation 13:2. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, his mouth like those of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his throne and his great authority. So Putin went to the dragon to get his power and his authority to go into Ukraine. You follow that?
Yes.
He went to the dragon. The dragon gives the power and the authority. Putin went and sat at the table with the dragon, with China, and China blessed him and said, go in after the Olympics. Attack. You see? Okay, so let's go on. So if the feet of the beast are the bear's feet, representing Russia, and the beast started to attack Ukraine, which part of the beast was the first to move? Well, when you move, what moves first? Feet. Your feet. And what's the first thing to move on this beast? The feet. And what are the feet? The bear. The bear's feet. Russia. So it makes sense that Russia, when the beast came off the pages of the Bible, that the very first movement of the beast was Russia. You know, the very first attack. And Russia's job, according to Daniel 7, is to devour much flesh. So it's just, it's like a puzzle. It just comes together. And the fact that the beast of Revelation has the feet of a bear, Revelation 2, supports the fact that after the image of the beast was created by man, a statue at the United Nations representing the UN, it suddenly came alive and began to attack moving first with the feet of a bear, Russia. Daniel spoke of the bear in Daniel 7:5. Again, I read this before. And behold, another beast, the second one resembling a bear, and it was raised up on one side, and three ribs were in its mouth between its teeth, and thus they said to it, arise, devour much flesh. So when the beast, I believe, arose and went to China and got its power and its authority from the dragon, it attacked and started to devour much flesh in Ukraine. You see it? All right. And we're going to get to why Ukraine. You know, there's a reason why Ukraine. We're going to get to that. Okay. So what are the three bones, the three ribs in his mouth represent? The three devoured, they could represent Russia's defeat of Napoleon, Hitler, and perhaps the United States is the last one. I don't know. We don't know the answer to that quite yet, but we know that Russia is a warrior. It's a war machine out to devour flesh. I want to keep, again, let's keep this, we're keeping this simple. So where did the bear and the beast get their power and begin the war in devouring much flesh? Remember who Putin the bear visited to get the war blessing during the Olympics? China, the dragon. And Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was thrown down, and the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. China deceives the whole world. They want world domination. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Revelation 12:9. If the devil could speak through a serpent, then surely he could speak through a Chinese dictator, not right? Amen. China's main symbol is the dragon, because China is attempting to not only deceive the world, but to control it. China's behind this, all right? They may not be visible. Russia may be doing the dirty work, but don't think for a minute that China's not involved. Okay, now back to Russia, the bear. Who gives the beast its authority? I'm going to ask you now. I just told you, but I'm going to ask you. Who gives the beast its authority? The dragon. That's right. China. China is the dragon. And the dragon gave him power, Revelation 13:2, and his throne and great authority. Why did Putin go to the Chinese dragon before the Ukrainian war to receive power and authority and blessing to do his dirty work in Ukraine? My, how simple this is when the pieces of the puzzle come together. But we humans love to complicate issues. But God is much simpler to comprehend if we are seekers of truth. If we seek God, he'll reveal these things to us. He says, call to me and I will answer you and show you the great and mighty things that you do not know. You just have to ask. So we have a real image of a beast at the UN last fall, just that people can worship and copy it. They can make miniature statues like Buddhas. They can miniature versions to take home, take a picture and build their own, make plastic ones. People can put them in their living room and worship it, or even NFTs. Then the real beast goes to the dragon. The real beast goes to the dragon. So the bear. So who's carrying the beast? The feet. The Russian bear. He's carrying the beast with it. It doesn't matter what country you are on the beast, you're getting dragged into it. So we're in it. Do you know that we're part of this war? We're in the war. I'm going to show you how, okay? Because every nation that's part of the beast, and the U.S. is part of it, is getting dragged into this war, whether we like it or not, because the feet are dragging us into it. Let's read more. Okay, so Russia moves the whole beast into war without the other parts necessarily participating nor understanding that they are being dragged into it. But if you realize the European part of the beast and the American part of the beast, the two wings of the eagle, which are removed quickly, Daniel 7:4 tells us, but right now, while the U.S. still exists, the beast has wings of an eagle. They will be plucked, Daniel 7:4 says. Very early on, when Daniel sees the beast, the U.S., I believe the U.S. is in prophecy. It is the wings of the eagle. Now, I'm going to explain. Some of you are going to say, well, that's Babylon of ancient. No, it's not. I'm going to explain why. Let's go on. Okay, so Russia moves the whole beast into war without the other parts understanding or knowing why they're being dragged into it. But if you realize the, as I said, the European part of the beast and the American part of the beast, the two wings of the eagle may still be buying some, the U.S., are still buying some $6 billion plus dollars of oil and natural gas from Russia. We're buying mostly oil. A week. In fact, we provided, I added it up, we're buying 200,000 barrels of oil a day. We've been buying, and I'm not sure it stopped. We're still getting, until the end of this month, I think we're still getting shipments from Russia. We have a contract until the end of this month, like a few more days. And we're paying $5 to $6 billion a day for the oil that we're getting. $5 to $6 billion a day to Russia. To Russia. We're giving them, why, and we could, we, when the other president before this one, and I'm not naming names because I get you know, they block you. So when I try to post, you know, they block. So I'm not naming names, but you know who it was. And we were energy independent before this regime. We were energy independent. We were producing more oil than any other country in the world. We had plenty of oil for ourselves. Gas was cheap. It was $2 or less a gallon. We could, you know, people were driving everywhere. Life was good. Food was cheap. Everything was much cheaper than it is now, right? Life was real good. I mean, I could see a picture of the old redhead saying, miss me yet? I do. And so let's go on. So we're buying, the U.S. is buying some $6 billion plus dollars of oil from Russia, all while this war has been going on a day. 5 to 6 billion a day. You begin to realize, remember I said the beast, we're being dragged in because the feet of the bear have dragged us into the war, that much of the rest of the beast funded the Russian attack. Russia amassed some $600 to $700 billion from oil and natural gas purchases by Europeans and Americans this past year. And you can check me on these statistics. You can look up how much oil the U.S. buys from Russia this past year, how much gas Europe bought, how much we spent. And the report I read said that Russia had amassed between $500 billion and $700 billion to go to war. So we funded the war. That's our role. How do we fit into the beast? We're funding the war. So we're against the war on one hand. You know what politics means? Anybody know what politics means in Greek? Anybody? It means forked tongue. You ever seen a snake with a forked tongue? A serpent with a forked tongue? It speaks out of two sides of its mouth. Politics means a forked tongue. Okay? We're a forked tongue. On the one hand, we're paying for the war to kill Ukrainians, but on the other hand, we're over there pretending to help them. I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? And so is Europe. And they're not really helping because we're letting them stew. We're not sending planes in. We could destroy Russia. We could absolutely, NATO, even just NATO, has enough power to go and destroy Russia's air force, bomb, blow up their ships out of the water, destroy all their tanks and their army. The only thing we couldn't get is their submarines and their nukes. That's the problem. And because we're scared of them, we're not doing it. So Ukraine, we're just letting Ukraine die. We're giving them a few small weapons and saying good luck. And here's some more money. You know, and here's some food, but so we're funding the war. So is Europe. In Daniel's time, Babylon's national symbol was a lion with the wings of an eagle. This is not a, this is the current beast, which is a leopard. But in Daniel's time, the symbol of Babylon was a national symbol, was a lion with the wings of an eagle. However, the beast was merely a vision of things to come. In other words, that Babylon, the lion with the wings of the eagle, was a passing thing. It's no longer, it doesn't exist anymore. We're dealing in the now. Everybody say now. We're not dealing in the past. We're not dealing in the future. We're dealing in the now. So while the United States is alive, as it remains, there's going to be wings on the beast. You see, the beast is fluid. Remember I said it's a living beast. It's a system, but it's living. It's fluid. It changes. Pieces are added. Parts are removed. Okay? And the wings are still there. Why? Because we're still here. All right, let's go on. All right, and so the beast was merely a vision of things to come in the future, and ancient Babylon is long gone. I find it fascinating that we were a colony of England, who was once a Roman outpost. England's symbols are the lion and the dragon. Our national symbol is the bald eagle. Put the eagle and the lion together, and you have the symbol of ancient Babylon. Daniel says the eagle's wings are plucked or removed from the beast very early in his vision of Daniel 7:4. By Revelation 13, the beast has no wings of an eagle, nor are they mentioned. If you read about the beast in Revelation 13, there's no more wings. Okay, so where do they go? If it's the U.S., we've obviously been defeated. Now, I'm going to talk about that, why. But, so, could the statue at the UN possess eagle's wings because the United States still exists? And we are the de facto globalist leader of the beast? De facto means the because we're the biggest power, superpower in the world, all Europe looks to us as the leader of the beast, right? We're the leader of the United Nations. By the way, when the United Nations Security Council voted to sanction Russia, Russia is on the security... This is to show you how much the UN is the beast. Russia and Iran are on the Security Council of the United Nations. And I believe China might be too. And so when they voted to sanction Russia, Russia was the chairman of the committee of the UN Security Council, and they vetoed the sanction. That's how dirty the beast is. That's how dirty the UN is. You see? Okay, so our national symbol is the bald eagle, but the eagle and the lion together, you have the symbol of ancient Babylon. Daniel says the eagle's wings are plucked, removed from the beast very early in his vision. By Revelation 13, the beast has no wings of an eagle. They're gone. Where do they go? What happens to us? Nor are they mentioned anymore after Revelation 12. There's no more wings of the eagle mentioned. They disappear in Revelation 12 and Daniel 8. That's the last time you see the wings of the eagle. Nor are they mentioned. But could the statue at the UN possess eagle's wings because the United States still exists and we are the de facto globalist leader of the beast, as can be evidenced by all the drama surrounding President Biden's current trip to Europe and NATO? Is the USA really, are we really leading the beast? Are we really guiding the beast? Are we really running the show like the president seems to think we are? He goes over there and everybody's kowtowing to him, and he's like the big shot, and everybody wants a picture with him, and they put him in the middle. But is he really calling the shots? Who's really calling the shots? China. It's the silent ones you got to watch out for, the quiet ones. Russia's acting, China's standing in the background, very quiet, you know. The thugs are usually the quietest ones. You know what I mean? The thugs are very quiet. They don't talk so much. You know, it's the stupid ones that talk. It's always been the way. Watch The Godfather. It's the stupid ones talk too much and they get in trouble and they end up sleeping with the fish like Luca Brasi, you know? So, it's true. You know, Sonny Santino couldn't shut his mouth and he got machine gunned down at the toll booth. But Michael Corleone, he kept his mouth shut and he lived. I'm not saying he was a good guy, but he was smart. You know, he kept his mouth shut. All right, let's go on. So that's just an example. Great, great movie, you know, The Godfather. But is the USA really guiding the beast, or is it the dragon, China? One must understand that these world leaders have very little, if any, understanding of the beast. They don't understand the beast. You understand it better than they do. Say, I understand it better than the world leaders. You do. One must understand that these world leaders, very few of them read the Bible. Very few of them even know that they're part of the beast. But they just don't even know it. Or how the beast system works to fulfill prophecy. They err in their blindness. Yet they fulfill prophecy that God wrote thousands of years ago. So they're fulfilling prophecy and they don't even know it. By the things that they do. All right. So how is the USA part of the attacking beast who being led by the bear's feet of Russia and under the power of China and authority, the dragon is devouring Ukraine? The answer is oil, I said. Petroleum. All through the war and before, since Biden has been president, we have been buying some 200,000 barrels of oil a day from Russia and paying between $5 and $6 billion a year to Putin for that oil. In fact, Russia amassed a fortune to the tune of $700 billion to fight this war from American and European oil and natural gas purchases over the last year alone. So we may not be an intentional attacker of Ukraine. We didn't set out, but since we're part of the beast, we've been dragged into it, and our money has financed Putin's war. Our money. So we are in the beast. And we don't even know it. You know, you and I know that we're funding it. But how many of us thought that just because we're buying Russian oil that we're part of the beast? Not many Americans think of that. They know, yeah, we're helping fund Putin's war. But how many people realize that we're in the beast? We're the wings. We're the eagle. See it? See the eagle's wings? Okay. Let's finish up. Okay. So we have certainly provided Putin with the funds to fight this war along with Europeans who buy his gas. Many who are still dependent on Russian oil and especially their natural gas. Ukraine is valiant, but they are merely a lamb led to the slaughter, friends. NATO has been paying for Putin's war. The world is paying to destroy Ukraine. Putin may say he only wants the Donbas region in the east, and he may be pulling back now and regrouping because the Ukrainians have been fighting so valiantly and so heroically. They're stopping the Russians and killing them, and the Russians are fleeing. The soldiers are running, but that doesn't mean Putin's stopping. He's just taking a break. I think he's pulling back and regrouping. But don't kid yourself. He took Crimea in 2014 and waited till 2022 to take the rest of Ukraine. Putin is just taking a break, regrouping, rebuilding. He's taking a breather. He gets it. That sometimes you just got to step back and take a breather. Amen? The older you get, the wiser you get. And you learn you need to take a breather. Right? When you're young, you push yourself, you know, beyond your limits. But when you get older, sometimes you sit down on a park bench. He took Crimea in 2014. Now he has taken probably an area the size of New Jersey from Ukraine. He'll be back for more. Wait and see. He's taken an area probably the size of New Jersey from Ukraine. He'll be back for more. It's not over. All right, let's look at the leopard. The most common animal symbol of modern Iran is the Persian leopard. It's no coincidence that the statue, if you can even see the spots on this thing, this black and white picture, the spots of the body of the leopard, of the beast at the United Nations. It's no coincidence that the statue of the beast at the UN, known as the Guardian for International Peace and Security, has the body of a leopard, exactly as Revelation 13 tells us, friends on Facebook. It will. Currently, the Iranian leopard is developing nuclear weapons and missile delivery systems. In an interview with Mark Levin last week, former Prime Minister of Israel Benjamin Netanyahu said that Iran will achieve membership in the nuclear weapon club by 2027. Is it a coincidence that Biden's government is renegotiating Obama's so-called nuclear treaty with Iran, in which Iran gets billions of dollars in return for a mere promise not to develop nuclear weapons? Is Biden really... Does he really believe that? To top it off, the U.S. is not even sitting at the negotiating table, but Russia and China, the bear and the dragon, are handling the negotiating with the leopard for us. Are we that naive to let the bear and the dragon negotiate a nuclear treaty with the leopard for us? But that's what we're doing. And not only that, we gave in the last treaty, we gave them billions, and we're going to give them more billions to Iran to help them build their nuclear weapons. Although we say we're trying to stop them, it has more impact on the world, but I won't get into how it's affecting. It's angering Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates because we're working with the Iranians, and it's really ticking off our allies. Saudi Arabia won't even take our phone calls. You understand, they won't even, they're so mad at us for helping Iran, they won't even take our calls. Surely they are plotting to clip the eagle's wings. Who? Russia and China are plotting to clip the American eagle's wings with Iran to destroy us as soon as possible. Why is our government negotiating with thugs for Iranian oil, Venezuelan oil, for example, instead of just removing restrictions and letting American companies restore us to the number one world producer and exporter of petroleum and natural gas? It makes no sense. We are funding evil regimes while weakening our own country in the name of climate change. All because of this supposed climate change, we are our leaders are kowtowing to a radical left that doesn't want us to drill and produce oil and gas, which will give us strength, and not fund the wars of the bad guys in the world. If we're making the money, then they're not. When we were making oil, Russia was poor. When we stopped drilling, baby, remember drill, baby, drill? When we stopped drilling, baby, Russia had no money. Russia got money because the price of gas went up. And with the price of gas up, Russia makes tons of cash. So does Iran. So does any Venezuela. Any country that produces oil makes money, except us. Because we're not... Well, we're making it too because we're selling it. And our oil companies are making money. Bernie Sanders wants to tax our oil, our company's corporate tax 95%. That was his thing yesterday. He wants to tax companies, oil, and what's her name? Elizabeth Warren. She thinks that the oil companies are gouging, price gouging. They're not price gouging. Oil's up. That's how much crude oil has gone up because we're not producing it. There's a shortage in the world. And that drives the price of crude up. You know, I'm going to start. I was thinking of some new Facebook names, Brent Crude. I thought I might start a new Facebook page called Brent Crude. I also thought I might start one called Cherry Pickers. I'm thinking of different names for a Facebook page. But anyway, that was just a joke. But Brent Crude, you like that? Anyway. Okay, just trying to lighten things up. Okay, hurts so good. Instead of just removing restrictions and letting American companies restore us to the number one world producer and exporter of petroleum and natural gas. It makes no sense. We are funding evil regimes because we're not producing oil and the price of crude is going up, and these evil countries that make oil are funding their military. That's it, bottom line. Okay, is this Gog and Magog? We're also funding Iran's nuclear aspirations because they're selling their oil on the black market for big bucks. They are making money to build nuclear weapons. They're an oil country, all right? Is this Gog and Magog? Many prophecy teachers are saying that we are seeing the battle of Gog and Magog line build up and its forces come together. My answer is no, we are not. This is not Gog and Magog. What we are seeing is the prophetic beast of Daniel 7 and Revelation 13 come off the pages of the Bible. We are seeing the rise of Europe as a united world power or a revived Roman Empire. That's what we're seeing. We're seeing the rise of the globalist, of the beast. Everybody say the rise of the beast. A revived Roman Empire, of which Daniel spoke of in his vision in Daniel chapter 2, I believe. He sees the statue, and it's a revived, the feet are the theologians teach, are a revived Roman Empire. And that's what we're seeing. Europe is becoming more powerful now. Europe is becoming more united. Europeans are working together, and they're becoming stronger. And remember I mentioned, where do we come from? England. Where did England come from? It was a Roman outpost. We are a colony of England. We are part of the Rome. We are a distant cousin of the. We're a cousin of the Roman Empire. That's where we come from. Not the Celts. Yeah, Celts came, especially in this area, but the main group of people that settled this country were the English, not the Scots, not the Irish. The English were the ones that started the colonies. It was the English system of government, not the Scots, not the Irish. It was the Scots and the Irish that fought the British. My wife is a Scot and an Irish woman by ancestry, but they didn't run the colonies. Okay, let's go on. Is this Gog and Magog? No, this isn't Gog and Magog. This is the rise of the revived Roman Empire, of which we Americans were once a colony of, and we are seeing the U.S. dig its own grave. Our ineptness and lack of understanding, along with our willingness to sell out the USA in the name of climate change, to focus more on Ukraine's borders rather than our own borders, that we ship guns to Ukrainians to fight Putin, but we fight fiercely to take them from our own citizens, makes absolutely no sense at all. Conclusion. The Russian bear was created to devour much flesh and is doing just as God said it would. It's very sad what's happening in Ukraine. I pray for them daily, but easily comprehended by those with an ear to hear and eyes to see. The beast of Revelation 13 has leapt off the pages of prophecy into our reality. But thankfully, God is revealing it to us so we can understand the times and know what to do, like the sons of Issachar. We can understand the times we're living in, and we can know what to do. So you ask me, Brother Joe, what do we do? Well, if they're fleeing Ukraine, watch, learn from it. Learn what it's like to flee with nothing but the clothes on your back. Learn what it's like to run to a country next door to you and live on a mattress in a church and be handed bowls of soup and a piece of bread and have no money to eat because you had to leave everything behind. You had to run so fast to get out of the country where you were being bombed. If you don't think it'll happen here, you're fooling yourself. It's coming here. I believe it's coming. I'm not saying the coming of the Lord. I'm not predicting the day of the second coming. I'm just saying that kind of trouble that we're seeing, that kind of war, is coming. North Korea was launching the biggest nuclear missiles we've ever seen just this week. China wants to take over Taiwan. Don't think for a minute that's not coming in the next year or so. All 90%+ of our, what do you call those chips? What do you call them?
Microchips.
Semiconductors. 90%+, 95% of our semiconductors are created in, or they're built in a factory called Taiwan Semiconductors in Taiwan. Because Clinton did NAFTA and he sent all of our factories over to Asia. So Taiwan and South Korea produce all the semiconductors we use. I have a Samsung phone. It's got a Taiwan. It's got a Korean semiconductor. You know that semiconductors are in your computer. They're in your projector. They're in your cars full of semiconductors. Your TV, your smart TVs, your toaster oven, your microwave oven, your refrigerator. Everything has semiconductors. And if China invades Taiwan, you can just say goodbye. Yeah, I mean, they'll be gone, and we don't have factories. We're building. We are rushing right now to build factories to make semiconductors. But if China invades in a month, we're in trouble, folks. Because, I mean, there's already a shortage of vehicles. And if your vehicle breaks down and there's no way to get semiconductors, do you know how many cars Ford has and General Motors sitting in places like Arizona out in the desert? Just sitting there or in warehouses waiting for semiconductors. They've built them, but they don't have the chips to make them run. So they can't even do electric cars. They can't make them. Nothing, everything electrical that works uses semiconductors. Even the electricity from the power company now, they put these boxes outside your house to monitor how much electricity you use and how much water you use, has semiconductors in it. I mean, it's crazy. It'll just shut us down. So this is what's going on, and we're if you don't think it's going to happen here, you know, are you ready? See, these Ukrainians weren't ready, so they got caught with their pants down, even though they knew the Russians were lining up on the border. Now they fled. Why do you think I brought the man from Israel about investing in Israel? Because of Aliyah. And I'm going to talk about it. So let's conclude here. So the Russian bear was created to devour much flesh and is doing just that, as God said. It is very sad, but easily comprehended by those with an ear to hear. Let me see. Where's my conclusion? Okay. And eyes to see. The beast of Revelation 13 has leapt off the pages of prophecy into our reality. But thankfully, God is revealing it to us so we can understand the times and know what to do like the sons of Issachar. This is a most fascinating time to be alive in history. If I am correct in my assumptions, unfortunately, for us, America's time is short because pride at the top will be our downfall. We do not control the beast. God says the dragon gives its power and authority. In fact, we are simply a pawn attached to the beast and soon to be plucked, the wings of the eagle, Daniel 7:4. We are not calling the shots on the beast. We are not scaring the bear or the dragon. We are merely financing Putin's war and other more permanent parts of the beast that will survive our demise, such as Iran and Russia and England, the lion/dragon. But what of England? Where do they fit in? Well, if you've ever heard of the Great Reset, Prince Charlie is perhaps the number two player next to Klaus Schwab at the World Economic Forum, who is not only planning the Great Reset, he's about to become king, Prince Charles, but will likely usher into existence by 2030 the Great Reset. Do you know what that is, the Great Reset? In a very simple sense, it means you have no private property. You may get a little apartment somewhere. All your money, your dollars are gone. There's one central government, one central currency. The government controls how much food you get, how much heat you can use, how much water you can use. They, you're basically, you can't gain wealth. You're only a very elite group of people has jets and toys and yachts. You get nothing. I get nothing. Everything we have is being taken away. You can see it happening now through inflation. You're losing your wealth. Every day, the prices go up. And I've noticed, I get coffee pretty much most days a week. I go to a coffee shop. And I buy chicken breasts cooked at Bojangles. They've gone up. They were six something. I used to pay six something a couple months ago for two chicken breasts. I'd make a salad. I'd put one chicken breast on I'd make my own salad and put a chicken breast that's on it. And, you know, I'd pay $6 for two chicken breasts and a tea. Now it's up to over $8. Okay? I'm just giving an example. You see the prices. I don't have to tell you. You see how prices are going up. It's making you poor. It's a tax. It's designed to make you poor. Biden said in Europe, he said, gas prices are going to keep going up, and food prices are going to keep going up. In fact, he said there's going to be famine. And they're predicting millions of Africans will die this year because of the famine. Why? Well, I'll get on to that. I'm finishing, so let's finish up. So England's part hasn't come yet. That's why we're not seeing so much of England. But they're part of the Great Reset that's coming in a few years. So hold on. Hold your breath for England. They're not a major part of this right now, but they will be part of the beast. Methinks that the USA will be divided into four weaker countries, since I believe we are the goat of Daniel 8, who fights Iran in the last days. And though we beat the leopard, Iran, we are soon brought down as a superpower. If Netanyahu is correct, then that war with Iran will likely occur during the next presidential term. Biden would never fight Iran, by the way, but his predecessor would, and has said he will not let them have nuclear weapons as he's president. I think he will be back in 25. But last but not least, the whole shooting match is about getting God's chosen people out of bear territory, former Soviet Union, before the wall is rebuilt that Reagan tore down. Reagan said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Putin is building it back up. And what we're seeing is the last call. Everybody say the last call. To get the Jews and Christians out of the former Soviet Union. Christians are being persecuted too, and Jews, Messianic Jews, in the former Soviet Union. Okay, so this is the last call. So this is, God raised up this war and this beast to get our people out. Part of the role of the beast is to get God's people back to Israel for the second coming. Aliyah. So if you were a Ukrainian, and you may not be going to Israel, and especially if you're not Jewish, or, you know, but if you had $200,000 saved, and you lived in Ukraine, you knew war was coming 3 months ago, and you had a chance to get that $200,000 into a bank in Poland and keep maybe $20,000 to live on, and then get out of the country, would you have put that money in Poland? Or Romania or Hungary, if you knew you were going to flee the country? That's why I had the guy come from Israel, so that people could have a chance to put some money in Israel, so that we're going, believing that we're going there. You have to believe that we're going to go to Israel and that our funds are going to be waiting for us, and hopefully building value, you know, gaining. And for those who don't have money, well, I'm sorry, but hopefully your friends will take care of you and help you. If, you know, that's, God will provide for you. But for the people who have some money, wouldn't it be nice to not have to leave it behind in Ukraine and never get it back? But to go to a country like Poland and rent an apartment, or Hungary or Romania, rent an apartment, get a new job, and wait for your husband? Because I'm going to tell you something. Would you want to go back to Ukraine after this? I wouldn't. I wouldn't want to go back. It's not the same. Have you seen pictures of it? Have you seen the destruction? You want to go back and rebuild that? Or start somewhere else like Hungary or Romania? Hungary is a great country. It's a democracy. All right, let's finish up. So last but not least, the whole shooting match is about getting God's chosen people out of bear territory, the former Soviet Union, before the wall is rebuilt and they cannot leave. Sadly, it often takes war or plague to get people to go where God wants them. Remember Moses in the Exodus? Plagues? There were 10 plagues then. Speaking of the Jewish people, that is the reason for the end time Daniel 8 war with Iran. Iran has threatened to destroy Israel with nukes, but God's word says Israel will always be. Zechariah 8 is going to be, Yeshua is going to live in Jerusalem. Jeremiah 31, 35, as long as there's a sun by day and a moon by night, they'll be in Israel. Zechariah 14, 16, all the nations will come celebrate Sukkot.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Isaiah 2, come let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. For the mountain of the house of the Lord will be raised up above all the mountains of the world in that day, and the nations will stream to it, and the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So if Israel were blown off the map, that would make God's prophetic word untrue, and God would be a liar. However, we know God's word is true, and God is not a liar. Amen? So another president will come from the U.S. after 2025 and undo the Obama-Biden treaty and destroy Iran's nukes and military, etc. It must be a powerful Gentile nation from the West because Daniel 8 says so. It's a Western nation. Israel will not do it because Israel is in the Middle East. So they're not Western. That pretty much leaves the U.S., friends. It's the only military power capable of destroying Iran from the air, which Daniel 8 says so. So people, to go home to Israel in a massive aliyah, so this attack of the beast is largely about getting the Jewish people to go home to Israel in a massive aliyah that will come here in a few years too. It is also about protecting the state of Israel from nuclear annihilation. And finally, it is the end time prophecy being fulfilled in our time that we should all understand so that we prepare for the return of the Messiah. Please rise. I want to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yisem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah and Prince of Peace. God bless you. Greet one another. Shabbat Shalom. Thank you for coming. And I hope the message was clear. Was it clear enough to understand today?
Yes.
Praise God. All right. Friends on Facebook, thank you. Thank you for your support. You can donate at For Zion's Sake, www.forzionssakeministries.com. We need your support to continue this prophetic ministry. Thank you for and sign up for our newsletter. God bless you all. Shabbat Shalom. Thank you, sweetheart. Yeah, I haven't seen you in a long time. I can't get up. It's okay. Just give me a side hug.
I know you're really sick for a while.